rich get richer. It's just so disproportionate.
You can't handle the truth.
We are back for the True Review podcast. Welcome, guys. This is episode 12 of the show. I am your host, Jono Kickless, as usual. So, welcome to the show. We've got a huge show lined up for you guys today. Plenty of news and reviews to go through, so I don't want to muck around too much. But for those of you that use the internet, and one would assume you do, seeing you listening to this, you can find us on Twitter, at TrueReview_pod. Or you can go to Facebook and like the Facebook fan page. Just search for the True Review Podcast. You can also download the podcast on iTunes, which is probably the easiest way. Just search for the True Review Podcast in the iTunes store. Or if you still use emails, you can email us, truereviewpodcast@gmail.com. So there's all your social media needs. Now, on today's show, we've got plenty of news, as I said before. We're going to be talking a little bit about Johnny Depp's upcoming movie, or what he's just signed on for. There's also been an announcement of a Steve Jobs biopic already. I know it's only been a week after his death, but looks like they're going in that direction. And I'll tell you about a bit of news about a Facebook game, which is going to be turned into a movie. Don't know if you've read this already, but you'll probably find out. Also, we've got another week of trailers to tell you guys about, and we'll talk about the Avengers trailer on next week's show, so if anybody's seen it yet and is pretty excited like I am, wait till next week and we'll talk a bit more in depth about it. We've also got a review on the movie Mr. Popper's Penguins, only the one review this week, unfortunately, but that's alright. And we went out to Facebook and Twitter during the week and asked what everybody's favourite movie franchises were, so I'll discuss those a little bit more in detail. We'll also be having a look at the upcoming albums by Florence and the Machine, and we're going to take a quick look at an upcoming Disturbed album, which will be coming out. We've also got the first announcement for Soundwave 2012, which came out during the week, and we'll talk about that a bit more. And I've got reviews on the new albums by Evanescence and Wilco. Unfortunately, I'm not doing a Seether one this week. We'll also talk a bit of TV stuff, some new TV shows that have been cancelled already. And one of everybody's favourite TV shows has been renewed for a few more seasons, so we'll tell you guys which one that is. Also, we'll talk about Breaking Bad finale and some other shows which are staying strong in the current TV lineup, I should say. So that's very exciting stuff. We've altered the Celeb of the Week. We've changed it to Celeb Idiot of the Week because I can't find much good news on celebrities. So here is the Celeb Idiot of the Week.
The True Review Celebrity Idiot of the Week.
And the Celebrity Idiot of the Week this week go to somebody which I think has a possibility of getting it multiple times, and that is Lindsay Lohan. Somehow during the week, she's got herself another court appointment. This time she's being sued over $1,000 limo bill. So damaging, she's hasn't paid $1,000 towards a limousine company, which she'd been using for quite a long time. So I don't know how that works. Surely these people have money managers, don't they? I don't know. But anyway, she's entered herself back into court again. I don't know when she'll be in court exactly, but, yeah, she's our Celebrity Idiot of the Week, and I think the section will go a lot smoother now that we can find more idiots in the celebrity world, so that's good. So that's that, and let's move on to the movies section of the show. Alrighty, as always, your fun movie trivia for the week. And this one is another Star Wars one because they seem to have the best trivia. Harrison Ford wasn't originally a candidate to play Han Solo in the Star Wars movies. He was originally brought in simply to feed lines to other auditioners. After watching Ford, George Lucas realized he was perfect for the part. And he actually ended up using him in other movies, i.e. Indiana Jones. Alrighty, on to the news for the week. And I said there was some big news about a Johnny Depp film that is in the talks, and that is for Johnny Depp to play Dr. Seuss. The Hollywood Reporter says Johnny Depp will play the late children's book author Theodore Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss, in an untitled biopic for Universal. Johnny Depp will also produce the film through his company Infinitum, and who's the same company that was behind Despicable Me and the upcoming adaptation of Dr. Seuss's The Lorax. So the movie will be live action, but they think there might be some animated bells and whistles attached to it, is what it says, quote unquote. So that's pretty interesting. I guess he's just, I don't know, Johnny Depp's probably, I guess, perfect for it. He's already done bloody Mad Hatter and, yeah, stuff like that. So that'll be interesting. Some other news this week is Sony has bought the film rights to Steve Jobs' unauthorized biography. So obviously Steve Jobs' biography, which was going to come out later this year, which has been bumped to coming out, I think, next month. Sony has bought the movie rights, so they'll be looking to make a movie, obviously, about Steve Jobs. So that's interesting there. It'll be a very interesting movie. Sony seems to be an ideal fit, seeing they have recently done movies like The Social Network and Moneyball, which are both based on true stories. So I think it would be a very interesting movie, actually, and it seems like he's been through quite a lot that in his life. So hopefully they do it, and they'll obviously do it in good taste as well. I don't know whether Steve Jobs gave consent for a movie to be done, but the book was fully under his support, so we'll see what happens there. You can find that article on totalfilm.com, and the Johnny Depp one you can find on IGN.com. Both very good websites. The other news that I was talking about a Facebook game that will be adapted into a movie, and it is going to be, drumroll, Farmville. And it is even going to be written by the same writers who wrote the original Toy Story movies. So, obviously, Farmville will be looking to come to the big screen. Obviously, it isn't as popular as what it used to be, but it was one of the most popular games on Facebook for quite a while. So I don't know whether they've left this a little bit too late, or whether there was something that would mean they couldn't get it done, or whatever. But that's other interesting news there. And you can find that article on cinemablend.com. Let us know what you think of any of those top stories there. We've got even more top stories next week. I'll give a hint during the week on what they're about, but they're pretty darn exciting. Alrighty, on to the trailers for the week. The first one I had a look at was a movie called J. Edgar, which is a biographical movie on J. Edgar Hoover. So I'm just going to read the description here. As the face of law enforcement in America for almost 50 years, J. Edgar Hoover was feared and admired, reviled and revered. But behind closed doors, he held secrets that would have destroyed his image, his career, and his life. Obviously, he was the leader of, I think, the FBI in America for quite a long time, back in the 50s and 60s especially, and 70s maybe, I don't know. But the movie will be directed by Clint Eastwood, which is a plus, and it stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Armie Hammer, who was in The Social Network. He played he played the Von Winklevoss twins. And Naomi Watts. So it's got a really good cast, really great director, and the trailer looks really good. It's a movie that was pretty much made for Leo DiCaprio. And the release date in the US is the 9th of November. I dare say it'd probably be anywhere between 2 weeks to a month after that for Australia, but that's a really interesting movie, and I think it'll do very, very well, especially come Academy Award season. Alright, second movie I checked out, which looks pretty cool, actually. It's a movie called 1911. It's a historical drama based on the founding of the Republic of China, when nationalist forces led by Sun Yat-sen overthrew the Qing dynasty. That's a little bit of a history lesson there. It's directed by and starring Jackie Chan. So Jackie Chan's return to semi-action drama type movies, which is interesting. It's a mainly Chinese film, and so far it's only been released in China and the US. And it got released last week, so I'm not sure when it's going to be coming out in Australia. Not sure if it's even going to be in English. Dare say it'll be subtitled. But it looks very cool, and it'll show a lot of history in about China, which hasn't really come to American or Australian movie screens yet, so that's pretty cool. The last movie I checked out, which looks kind of interesting, is a movie called War Horse, which is an upcoming Steven Spielberg movie. The movie follows a young man named Albert and his horse, Joey, and how their bond is broken when Joey is sold to the cavalry and sent to the trenches of World War I. Despite being too young to enlist, Albert heads to France to save his friend. So it's about a horse that gets bought by the army, and his owner goes to war to get him back. So, pretty interesting. The movie stars pretty much unknowns, but Jeremy Irvine, Emily Watson, and David Thewlis, who have probably been in things before, but I didn't even bother to do the research. Yeah, it looks kind of interesting. Don't know whether it's trying to be like a kids' drama film or I don't know. The trailer makes it look a lot more bigger than it probably should be, but check it out, see what you think about it. Should be released on Christmas Day in the US. Not sure about an Australian release date yet. A couple other movies I checked out on their trailers, I should say. A movie called I Melt With You, and another movie called Norman, which look okay. Norman's an international film, so check out the trailer for that one. And movies opening in Australia yesterday, but this week. A movie called The Cup. Kevin Smith's latest movie called Red State, which we'll be reviewing on next week's show. The Thing, which is the remake of the old school movie, and the rom-com What's Your Number, which has been getting pretty average reviews. But go along, check it out anyway, see what you think. Now, we've only got one review this week. I was going to do a review of the movie Drive, but I didn't get around to it. But we'll do that one next week, definitely. But the one we checked out this week is the Jim Carrey movie Mr. Popper's Penguins, which is about a real estate broker, Jim Carrey, in New York. Obviously, his name is Tom Popper. But, he's a successful real estate broker in New York. And his dad, who was like an expeditionist, after he died, he sent him a bunch of penguins. So Popper gets stuck with these penguins. And at first, he's like, oh, I don't want them. You know, goes through the phases, you know, loves the penguins, blah, blah, blah. But, I'm not sure whether this movie is, it's obviously a kid's movie, but at the same time, there's nothing really to show you that it's a kid's movie. So it's like just one of those, like, try-to-be-feel-good type of movies. Jim Carrey, in his recent years, he's sort of obviously dropped off a lot with his comedy. He's not doing the same sort of comedy he used to. Don't know whether that's a maturity thing or whether he's been told he shouldn't be doing it, or I don't know. But you only see glimpses of his really great comedy in this, and it's probably just one-liners here or there, or certain ways he moves his body, you know, or his facial expressions. So if you're a big Jim Carrey fan, you might probably not want to see this, because it's a pretty sort of dull Jim Carrey. CGI is actually really good in the movie, and it's quite interesting. Makes the penguins look at least semi-real. Even though the penguins in the movie do a lot of uncharacteristic things for actual penguins, they do really well with that. But that obviously just shows you that it's probably a kid's film. Not a really great cast around him. Nobody really famous. You see a lot of guys that have played like second-tier movie roles. And it had Carla Gugino, if that's how you even say her surname, who was in Entourage for a while, and you would have seen her in a fair whack of other things. But, I don't know, probably an average Jim Carrey movie, probably one you'd take your kids to see, I guess. And yeah, you know, what else do you expect from those type of movies? Didn't really have heaps of comedy in it. And Jim Carrey, like, he's still acting really well. But, you know, they're obviously just not offering him the same roles that he used to. So, yeah, that was Mr. Popper's Penguins. I gave it a 6 out of 10. But, hey, not my type of movie. Probably, yeah. Anyway, check it out for yourself. See what you think. You might like it. You never know. DVDs. Movies out on DVD this week. The movie Water for Elephants, which stars Reese Witherspoon and Robert Pattinson. And the movie Scream 4, which I was going to review at some stage, but I think I've already done it before, for all I know. But if you guys have seen either of those, let us know what you think about them. And that'll be really cool. All right, during the week, I went to Facebook and Twitter to ask everybody what they thought were their favorite movie franchises, i.e. Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and the responses were, you know, plenty. So thanks to everybody who said those. Just going to read out some names and see what they said. We've got Alicia, who thinks Harry Potter was the best until the last few movies where it got too commercial. Fair enough. She also liked the older X-Men movies. I'm assuming she means the original trilogy. Brendan Elwood, Toy Story. Yep, they're a very good series of movies. Love them. He also mentions Pirates of the Caribbean, Lord of the Rings. Nathan Clark loves the Dollars trilogy, i.e. Fistful of Dollars, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Can't say I've actually seen them, though, so sorry, Nader. Kerry said Twilight, but she was semi-joking, but I think she's being serious. Another Lord of the Rings here with Becca, who loves it. Hayden loves the Blade trilogy, Lord of the Rings, Matrix, Indiana Jones, Terminator, The Bournes, so he's got a fair whack there. Olivia with another Harry Potter mention. Good old fingers. Mickey Viola loves Commando. J.A. loves Back to the Future. Timmy Miller, the Oceans franchise, which are also good movies. Daniel Ogden, Final Destination franchise. Get your bang for your buck there. Bryce Stroberg, the Fridays franchise, which I can't say I've seen either. Romeo Basigio says Where the Boys Aren't, volumes 1 to 17. I don't know whether that's real or not, but yeah. Cousin Jake loves Star Wars or the original Planet of the Apes, so that's pretty cool. Mickey Viola again with Captain Stabbin, which I don't know is real or not. And Turtle Mark McDermott loves the House Party movies. Or Naked Gun, he says. So, plenty of there. And the girlfriend, Monica, loves the Scream franchise. So we've got heaps and heaps of responses there. Obviously the popular ones, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. My favourite ones, I should probably say my favourite ones. Some of them are mentioned. Yeah, Lord of the Rings, I love those ones. Toy Story's great. Never a huge fan of Harry Potter. I love the Matrix movies. Back to the Future, definitely, as well. Oh, I'm just looking at my movies now. When the new Batman movie comes out, that'll be my favourite franchise of Batman movies. Actually, I still love the old ones as well. Maybe except for Batman and Robin. The old Superman movies, they're pretty cool. I like a bit of Batman and Superman. That's about all I can really think of for now. I liked Saw when that started off, but sort of just went crazy in the end. So there's a few of my ones. So thanks everybody for that. I'll ask another question next week. And I'll probably go through that a bit later on. So that's everybody's opinions. And obviously, again, thanks to everybody for letting me know what they thought was their favourites. Alrighty. So let's move on to the music section of the show. Alrighty, the music section of the show. Music trivia for this week. The first CD pressed in the United States for commercial release was Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. So that's some pretty cool trivia there. Tell all your friends. Alrighty, the news for this week. As I said at the top of the show, we have the lineup for Soundwave 2012. So this was released during the week. I put this one off Triple J, which is probably the best source here to find it out. Alright, I'm just going to read through probably the big names here. You guys can check it out for yourselves, some of the other ones. System of a Down, Slipknot, Limp Bizkit, Marilyn Manson, Hole, Machine Head, Lamb of God, Trivium, Alter Bridge, Lost Prophets, Angels and Airwaves, Cobra Starship, The Used. Who else have we got here? Zakk Wylde's Black Label Society, Mastodon, Steel Panther, Hatebreed, CKY, which is pretty cool. Who else? Dragon Force, Hell Yeah. Yes, as I'm reading this list, my voice is getting higher. And many, many more! So that's a really awesome lineup, actually, for Soundwave. And I didn't actually get any tickets because I've seen a lot of those bands already. Only band I want to see is Alter Bridge. But, yeah, that's a really good lineup for Soundwave, and they've outdone themselves again. And it's sort of turned back to a bit more of a hardcore-y type festival, which is pretty cool. Dates for this, on the 25th of Feb, it'll be in Brisbane, 26th in Sydney, 2nd of March, it'll be in Melbourne, 3rd of March, Adelaide, and 5th of March, Perth. Tickets go on sale, pre-sale already went out, Melbourne, yesterday, but general public on sale the 20th of October, which is next week. So yeah, you can find that article on Triple J's website. Other music news, nothing super exciting, but Paul McCartney is married again, his third wife. It's only been 3 years since he's been divorced with Heather Mills, but he's married a woman by the name of, let me just try and find her name, Nancy Chevelle. So I wonder whether he's got a prenup organized for this one, because his last one cost him about $300 million. Chevelle is actually Barbara Walters, who is an American journalist. It's her cousin. So, some interesting little trivia there. But yeah, that's about all, really, that I can talk about Paul McCartney's wedding. The other news I had this week was American country singer Hank Williams Jr., who also helps commentate on Monday Night Football, the NFL, in America. He's compared Barack Obama to Hitler. What he said was, he was appearing on Fox and Friends to talk about President Obama's golf game with House Speaker John Boehner. And he mentioned that one of the biggest political mistakes ever, it's like Hitler playing golf with the Israeli Prime Minister. When he was referring to Obama playing golf with the House Speaker, John Boehner. So he's gotten into a bit of trouble for calling Obama Hitler. Obviously, some people are a bit sensitive to that type of thing, but probably not the best thing to say on national TV. But it's definitely got him heaps of attention, and he was even parodied on Saturday Night Live last week, which was pretty funny. And yeah, he's been dropped from ESPN as well, so probably not the best thing for him to say. But you can find that article on rollingstone.com. I told you the news wasn't super exciting besides Soundwave, but that's pretty cool either way. Alrighty, on to the album preview for the week. And this week I had a look at Florence and the Machine's upcoming album called Ceremonials, which will be the second studio album by the band, and it's going to be released on the 28th of October. So obviously, their first album called Lungs was very successful for the band, and did very well in the US and even here in Australia and stuff like that. So the follow-up album, there's a bit of a... they're very excited for it to come out. By they, I mean the fans. The album will have 14 tracks, and it'll be a lot more soulful and powerful than the last album, that's been told. It will have some appearances by... Let me just read through this a little bit. It doesn't actually say anything about appearances, but it does have a very similar sound to some of Adele's work, and does sound a bit like Kate Bush as well. That's all I've really got about it, actually. I thought I had more information on it, but yeah, some tracks have already come out on YouTube, which you can catch them. One of the tracks is called What the Water Gave Me, so you can check that out. That is the first single from the album. And yeah, another album I was going to talk about quickly was Disturbed, releasing a B-sides compilation album sometime in November, probably the first week in November. It'll be called The Lost Children. And the album will have 16 tracks, which are all B-sides from albums and soundtracks, pretty much. So that's another little bit of interesting news there from Disturbed. Alrighty, on to some actual reviews for the week. The first album I checked out was Evanescence's new album, self-titled Evanescence, which is their first album since 2006. And I actually enjoyed it. I've never been a huge fan of Evanescence's stuff. But they seem to be changing back to their old ways. They went through a bit of a period between their second album that they started to get a bit softer and weren't quite as rocky as they used to. But this one definitely has that old sort of rock feel to it. They also use a lot of elements of different instruments as well. Or pianos, and I think they have a DJ even on some of the, like, you know, DJ scratches and stuff like that, whether that's effects with the guitar or whatnot. But a lot of the songs on this album had very catchy choruses as well, which is something they're probably known for. And Amy Lee's voice is just ridiculously good. I don't really like her much as a person, but her singing voice is really great, and she's a big talent. They had a lot of band lineup changes as well, which is good to see that their sound hasn't really changed since that's happened. But, yeah, it has the odd couple songs on there, which you'd be like, oh, that's a bit But at the same time, it's still really good. And it does have a couple ballads on there as well, which is something that they're known for as well. So, that's probably the best description I can give of the new album. But I gave it a 7 out of 10. And the best songs on it are What You Want, and another song, I can't remember the name of it now, but yeah, What You Want was a really good song, and that's probably the that's the first single off the album, I'm pretty sure. The other album I checked out is by a band called Wilco, and they just released a new album called The Whole Love. These guys are like, they're hard to describe. They're like an indie poppy type of band, and alternative rock is technically what they are, but they're from Chicago, Illinois. They've been around for ages, since 1994, and this is their ninth studio album. I enjoyed it. It's got a lot of spacey type of sound to it, and it I don't know, it's hard to describe. I'm going through a lot of these type of albums recently. But the vocals on it are really good, and the different ways they use the guitars are really great as well. So I'm just blabbing on here about absolute shit. But definitely check it out. I gave it an 8 out of 10. And yeah, so get excited for Wilco. Check it out and let me know what you think, because it's a bit hard. I can't really describe it. I don't know how to describe it. I know that sounds stupid, but yeah. there hasn't been any other music released this week, so I don't need to mention any of that. And we'll move on to the TV show portion of the show. Alright, first thing is TV trivia. I'm going to just read what it says here. The Screen Gems sets of Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie were right next to each other at the studio that they were made at. and many of the actual sets and props were shared between the two shows. Both shows also shared Dick Albane, the special effects expert who worked on both of the shows for quite a while. So, a little bit of interesting trivia there, if you didn't know. I always wondered whether they would do things like that with those two shows, because they were such similar shows, really. Alright, on to the big news in TV land for the week. Talked about earlier a popular TV show that's been renewed for a few more seasons, and that would be The Simpsons. They've been renewed for two more seasons, so it'll extend their run at least up until the 25th season. So by then, The Simpsons will have produced 559 episodes as the longest running comedy in TV history. So there you go. There was a bit of angst over it, saying there was a bit of a contract standoff between the voice cast and Fox to do with obviously pay and stuff. And as far as I know, the staff have taken a bit of a pay cut. But yeah, so they've got their 500th episode in February, and new episodes return to TV already on the 30th of October, actually, beginning with Treehouse of Horrors 22. So that's interesting. You can find that article pretty much anywhere on the internet. The other thing I was going to talk about this week was some TV shows that might be returning to TV, and some that have already been cancelled with this upcoming fall TV season. So the first one that there's a bit of talk about, Reno 911, could be coming back to TV. This is after the talk that Arrested Development is returning next year. But Reno 911, I can't say I ever really watched much of the show, but it was actually pretty popular, I think, and it even created a movie out of the show. So they talked about it, they've talked about it this past week. It was cancelled on Comedy Central back in 2009, so it hasn't really been off the air for that long. Yeah, and there's also talk of other shows like Better Off Ted maybe coming back. So, there's some very popular shows in the US, not so much over here in Australia, because they haven't really been shown much, but definitely in the US. In saying that, some shows that have been cancelled this week. The new CW show series Hater, which pits D-list celebrities up against people who have criticised them on the internet. Sounds like a stupid concept anyway, has been cancelled. And NBC has cancelled the romantic comedy show Free Agents, which starred Hank Azaria and Catherine Hahn. So that's been cancelled already. Another show which I also checked out, and it wasn't really that funny, but hasn't really been cancelled yet, but it's been reduced in its episode order from 13 to 9. And it's also been moved from its Thursday time slot to a Saturday night, is the show How to Be a Gentleman. So it hasn't really had terrible ratings though, but CBS haven't really felt like it's performed as well as they had wanted to. So that's How to Be a Gentleman, and it will most likely not come back after the 9 episodes, which is sad to see, because it had Rhys Darby in it, and I'm a big fan of his work. Just going to mention the shows I've checked out with a little bit of a comment. Up All Night, still going steady and still proving to be funny week in, week out. Person of Interest, I'm still interested. Yeah, still going okay. Breaking Bad had its finale, and I don't want to spoil it for those people who haven't seen it yet, but probably have. But it was a really great finale and tied up a lot of the storyline for that season. But the end of it definitely left you with a bit of a cliffhanger for next season, which would be its final season. This past week of The Office, episode 3, I think, was a bit of a flat episode in my opinion. But I'm sure it'll pick up again. There's always a flat episode with The Office every now and then. Survivor is going really strong as well. It's got a very interesting mix of people. And it's good. They've been... this, I was going to say storyline, but it doesn't have a storyline. People are getting eliminated that probably shouldn't be, which is always interesting. The Ultimate Fighter is really good at the moment, and it's getting better with every episode. I'm loving Mayhem Miller and Michael Bisping, and I can't wait till they fight. Homeland, which I think is this season's best new TV show. It's got some really good actors in it, and it's got a really great storyline behind it, so definitely check that one out, people. Also, Dexter, which has another very interesting storyline. It seems to be going in more of a religious sort of spin this season. Checked out How to Be a Gentleman, but that's obviously got cancelled, so I'll probably stop watching that. I'm continuing to watch Archer, which is great. And I haven't mentioned this before, but I watched Saturday Night Live. I've been watching it every week, but I forgot to mention it. This past week had Ben Stiller as the host and Foster the People as the musical guest. It was okay, but I probably would have expected a little bit more from Ben Stiller. But hey, what can you do? And that's it for shows I've checked out this week. Like to hear what you guys have been watching. Some shows I should probably get into, like Sons of Anarchy and stuff like that. But, you know, I've got that many TV shows that I'm still sitting around waiting to watch. I'll get around to it eventually. TV shows out on DVD this week, there are none, so another quiet week there. And that's about it for everything. I know you didn't get a lot of your great reviews as usual, but I'm currently in exam period, so I've been pretty busy studying and whatnot. But next week's show will be after all my exams, so it should be another really good show, hopefully. Next week's show, we're definitely going to be talking about the Avengers trailer, which came online a couple days ago. And we're going to be looking at trailers for the movies Coralianus, I think that's how you say it, Young Adults, and Contraband, all starring some big movie stars there. We'll definitely have reviews on the movie Drive and Red State. We're going to be taking a look at the upcoming Korn album, so they seem to be releasing stuff a lot quicker these days. And we've also got reviews on Noel Gallagher's his solo album by his band called Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. And we'll definitely check out the ZZ Top tribute album. We'll continue to talk about TV. Obviously have some news there. And I'll get everybody's opinions on their favourite TV characters, past or present. I'm more than happy to talk about past TV characters and whatnot. Another plug for the Twitter page. You can follow us on Twitter at TrueReview_pod. You can download us off iTunes. Just search for us in the iTunes store. Like the Facebook fan page. Yeah, and that's about it, really. I'm going to give you guys a bit of a snippet of some songs by Evanescence and Wilco. So they'll be in that order. I'll give you a snippet of their songs from the new albums. So that's exciting, and I hope everybody has a really good week. And I'll catch you guys next week for another Ripper Show. Thanks for listening. Catch.